Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the second funniest podcast.
The first funniest podcast will not be aired tonight.
Replacing will be second best. You can send us an email, podcast@justincomedy.com, or you can give us a phone call at 408-228-4911.
You won't be able to be a part of this podcast because it's already been recorded. Don't call right now.
I'm going to be at the Toledo Funny Bone with Derek Carter September 3rd through September 6th. September 13th, I'm going to be at the OC Comedy Spot in Fullerton. And the big thing, don't forget, November 4th, recording my second CD at Rooster Teeth Feathers. You can purchase tickets now. If you are going to come to that show, please buy the tickets now. It makes me look awesome. You can get information at justincomedy.com.
You always look awesome, Justin.
Aww.
I'm going to India.
I know.
So if you want to know more about that, you can go to churchinhollywood.com/outreach.
All right. But they can send money, right?
They can. I need to raise $3,000.
How do they contact you?
You can email me at kevin@thekevinmiller.com.
Enjoy the show.
/outreach.
Okay, bye.
What is Nutella?
Nutella?
We like to start the show with a question.
Yes.
Today's question, what is Nutella? Tune in for an hour and a half and you will find out.
It's sitting there over your head there. It's kind of floating above your head.
It's a hazelnut spread. Have you never had Nutella? No,
and that is the second funniest podcast. Thanks for stopping by. See you next time.
Thanks for coming by, Bruce. That was
Mark
a lot of fun.
Curry.
It was great.
Thank you.
I hope it was worth the drive.
We didn't tell them how long the podcast was, right?
Oh, how great would it be if we did one of those like 10-minute podcasts where people come over to my house
and just record one a night as opposed to like eight?
Well, you got a question, Bruce? That's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. That was your one genie wish.
I've had it answered. I now know what Nutella is.
You want to try some?
No, not at all.
Oh,
really?
It's really good.
He's on a diet. He's on a diet.
Oh, he's on a diet?
I don't want to try it, but I saw some somewhere today on the web somewhere, somebody's site. I saw a picture of Nutella on something. I don't know what. So
that
odd.
Is very specific.
I was so expecting you to say grocery store.
No.
I saw it on the web.
How old is it? You've got this
on
that shelf.
Site.
Yeah, February
I went
on 09. This is
you
expired.
Go into grocery
it's expired?
Store?
Yes. Good thing I didn't let him eat. So.
Yeah.
You can't have any Nutella, Bruce.
You
I'm
still
sorry.
Go into grocery stores?
Yeah.
We do everything on the web.
Hold on, Bruce. You're trying to tell me that you order your groceries on the web?
Oh, yeah. That technology has been around since before the dot-com bubble burst.
Okay, well, but I knew it was around. I'm just saying I didn't know that there were people who were. I know that there were people who were hardcore internetians, and they were like, "Let's do this. I'm in."
I think they're for the geriatrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I think they're for people.
Get off your lazy asses. That's how
they're old people.
No, that's how people became fat asses. That's why we have an obesity problem because people don't have to go to the grocery store to get the food.
Thank you, Justin Worsham, star of the second funniest podcast.
Okay, so what you're saying is
my name is Kevin Miller. Tonight's guest is Bruce.
All you need to do is go to the grocery store, and that absolves you of having to exercise.
It makes you skinny, I think.
Okay. What if you're buying pork rinds and applesauce while you're there?
It doesn't matter. I thought that was
shot
the whole.
Twice.
Yeah, that's the whole point of why Jared lost all that weight was he was going to get his food. He was getting back to his.
It was like a 2-mile walk to Subway.
Well,
he did twice a day.
It's not my fault that my grocery store is closed. Location, location, location.
And that you're buying ice cream instead of the
Klondike
6-calorie.
Bars is what daddy likes. Daddy gets
them. One grocery store that does everything for you, provides everything.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like 12.
You have 12 grocery stores?
Really, I can't find everything I want in one place.
Oh.
So I go to, there's, Pavilions and Gelson's and Trader Joe's.
And what does Trader Joe's have that Gelson doesn't?
Trader Joe's has like packaged fruit. Like mango cut up and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Which, you see, I love.
You like your fruit cut?
Yes.
And dry.
I'm too lazy to cut it.
You know, you burn calories doing that.
That's why he didn't understand about this whole going to get your food thing. This
as
is
you
what.
Can tell.
Oh, he's going to 12 stores, so he must be really skinny.
I know. That's what I was going to say. He makes up for it by going to 12 different stores.
Right.
He doesn't have to cut his food.
Yeah.
This is a man who doesn't have time because he's too busy consuming food
and by burning calories.
And buying it. That's what I'm saying. He's burning calories with the purchasing. He doesn't have time to cut it up.
You cut your own food?
I do.
Oh.
Here's what I do.
Prepare for
I choose mine, but I choose it.
You don't choose to choose.
I choose it cut.
Man, mind is now clear.
I'm gonna blow your mind right here,
yeah,
Bruce.
Go ahead.
What I do?
It's already clear.
I go to one grocery store.
Yeah.
I will buy a head of lettuce and I will cut it up for salads right here on that counter that you could probably see for
yourself.
By myself. Sometimes, well,
you don't have the wife do it.
No. I mean, yes, it should be. I know what you're saying. It's women's work, but
lettuce cutting. I've seen you spread the Nutella on it.
Yeah, on the lettuce.
That famous Nutella lettuce sandwich you made.
ooh, you brought that back. That's nice.
I can't believe that it's a hazel. It's like cocoa. Do you not like chocolate?
I love chocolate. I just don't know what the hell it is.
A chocolate spread.
I don't know what chocolate is.
It's for breakfast.
Well, it's like that stuff that the Australians eat. What's that? Vegemite.
Toaster biscuits? Oh, no.
They have the same
thing. Vegemite. Yes. Yeah.
Vitamin of Vegemin? Isn't that the stuff from the Lucille Ball show?
No, it's the thing from Men at Work.
Oh, right.
I think we...
I come from the London,
I just realized that we've just started at the middle. No, I heard you crowbar some introductions in.
Yeah.
But we jumped
crowbar,
right in.
They were smooth and silky. Now, come on, roll it back.
Okay. I wish I could.
Me too.
I think it was while we were talking.
Yeah, actually
you said,
it was.
That's Justin Worsham.
And in the room was also Rocky.
And
Natalie's in the other room.
I'm Kevin Miller. And our guest is Bruce.
Yep. That was pretty much how it happened.
So we have in here our guest for this show.
And it's James Bruce.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is Justin talking right now.
No, that's me.
No, that's what I said.
I know.
I'm making the introductions better.
So you guys have a beginning to the show normally.
No.
So we either just go with it, or sometimes we do multiple beginnings. Yeah. Also an option.
I'm a big fan of starting in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Just start talking.
All right, then let's not go back to the beginning.
Then people will wonder what you were talking about earlier. They try to go to the beginning of the show to catch up, and it just drives them crazy.
They're like, I wish I could rewind further.
I keep you listening to the beginning part again and again and again.
Well, now, Bruce, you had an iPod. We were just talking before, actually,
iPhone.
To bring iPhone now. Yes. But did you have an iPod before?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Come on, what's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Who doesn't have an iPod?
I mean, really.
Hopefully the people, this is a podcast.
Well, no, you can listen to it at work on your, I listen to a lot of stuff.
Most of
iTunes.
Our listeners do listen to their web browsers.
If you don't have an iPod, write in and we'll send you the second best iPod we can find.
Which would probably be the iPod Mini sitting in my kid's drawer right now.
Ding, ding,
it's
ding.
About 4 gigs. You could probably fit the whole year's shows on it. And then
some. We'll load it up. If you don't have an iPod.
I got you too, iPod.
Exactly.
We'll
it'll be great.
Can you listen to a podcast on a Zune?
Yes.
You
we have one Zune
when?
Listener. Well, Zune? No, we have like 12 Zune listeners.
Oh, through a different podcast catcher?
Yeah.
Software?
It's through Zune. It's Zune is Microsoft's iPod.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's correct.
Okay, good. Oh, well, then why am I explaining
to you? Do you have a bell to ring or something when he gets
ding!
I do. Bruce is even bringing back our morning
ding,
radio.
Ding,
hold
ding.
On.
Yeah, where is that?
Do I have a ding? Hold on, I gotta. Oh wait, turn it up.
Wait, I gotta get the fix.
That's a drum roll. Hold on,
that's
I have
good.
A ding in here somewhere. Let's see.
Put my iPhone on.
Here it is. Hold on, is it this? Nope, that's not it.
That's perfect.
What did I put that as the trigger for right here?
It's kind of like
I didn't give it one, so we're gonna make it B. How about that? Let's try that. Oh, one already is on B.
Oh.
This is.
That's funny that's already on B.
What are you? Oh, you're finding sound effects.
I'm getting out my effects.
That's what I'll do every time you're right.
Where's the buzzer at? Why is it that I'm supposed to put it on four?
This is fascinating. I think our listeners are completely turning off. That's the sound.
That's the end of your show.
There we go.
Thanks for stopping by.
Nice.
Gorilla Radio. Let's try this. There it is. Now
yay.
It's got its own. We're okay. We're covered.
Okay, say your question again. Do I have a bell?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Don't you have a bell to ring for that?
All right.
Good job. Yay.
It's like a train. This is like a train call.
This is the sound of the studio audience saying, now they're going to move on. I'm sure of it.
That'll happen. Good. So, who's seen Transformers 2?
All of us.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks horrible. Why would you go see it?
Because I like Transformers.
Okay.
I love Transformers.
Not even Transformers the movie. I like the Transformer idea. And here's somebody, a comic, I wish I could remember his name, I actually got in a yelling match in the Ice House Green Room.
Dennis Miller? Was it Dennis Miller?
I hope so. It would be so much cooler.
Was it Kanye West?
No. No. Was
it Robert Schimmel?
Close. I've worked with him. I have a story about him that we've, well, maybe we've got
that. I have a story about Robert
Schimmel. You do? Oh, let's hear that. That's much more interesting.
Not a particularly entertaining story.
No, I want to hear it.
I met him. That's all.
You met him, and how did it go? Because
it was terrific. Actually, he was very nice.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, but how? What were the circumstances in which you met him?
He was entertaining at a convention that I was at. like a rock and roll convention.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say he has stories of teaching, of entertaining at the adult entertainment awards.
Well, he hosted that for several years.
Yeah, I've heard.
You don't know
because you don't partake in that stuff, Bruce Tannenbaum. You're a gentleman.
Although we are in the valley now.
So I know this is where it's
home
made.
Of porn.
If you want to, I could. I have. You know, we can go watch a taping. There's an open set next door. Yeah.
Really? Can we do that instead of this?
What?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
I didn't tell you my neighbors make porn.
No.
I'm surprised that hasn't come up. I could have. So I would have brought it up earlier, but I forgot. I thought
you've
I already
never
have
mentioned
them.
That. No. On or off the air.
Yeah, they have like all each of the different rooms in their apartment is like supposed to look like a different set, and then sometimes they, you know, they have construction guys come through to make a different time
period. See you guys later.
Okay. Bruce is checked out.
He's lying. You're lying.
I'm lying.
I'm reading your eyes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, sorry, Bruce.
See, you got him, but victim. My discerning 12 years of friendship knew that you were lying.
I keep hitting the wrong button. There we go.
That,
no,
thank
that
you.
That one was good. I like that
you
one.
You like that?
Yeah.
That's actually from the soundtrack of
the porn movie?
Of the porn movie being shot next door.
Also a lie. Also a lie.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
So,
okay.
What were we talking about? You met Robert Schimmel at the Rock and Roll Awards.
No, it was not the Rock and Roll Awards. It was a convention. A rock
for rock and roll.
Convention.
Now, why were you? Now, I hope
he
this doesn't
the
sound
entertainment.
Like, but I hope this doesn't sound like an insult, but why were you at the Rock and Roll? not that you're not rock and roll, but
it wouldn't have sounded like an insult had you not said, I hope this doesn't sound like an insult. Then I wondered why it was an insult. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's messed up.
Here's the thing. I've offended a lot of people lately, and so maybe I'm a little bit more on the like, hey, easy there. Let's calm down.
Everybody just.
I want to make sure everybody's safe, and we should hug it out afterwards. Yeah. Bruce is making sure
did
we
hear,
can
did
hear
you
him.
Hear my water swell.
That was good. That's a pro radio, man.
There we go. We got
I don't like
I
that.
I was at the rock and roll convention because I was in rock and roll.
You were right. That's right. Yeah. You were. What were you involved? I know, but for
I was an exec.
I love how he says this. He's like, I was an exec.
What were you?
I was in charge.
You were in charge.
I was the guy.
What did you?
So you were the guy. If I had a dream and a hope and a prayer
to be a rock star,
and it's just me and my guitar and maybe four of my loser friends that I know eventually I could ditch and go solo.
Right.
And then Bruce Tannenbaum came and saw me playing at some coffee shop.
Wouldn't be any good whatsoever.
Wouldn't do it. You couldn't come up to me and like, listen, kid, I'm going to make you a dream, but you got to change your name.
My job was once you were signed to the label to make you into a star. So what would happen is you would have been signed with your name, and then I would have said, if you really want to be a star, you got to change your name.
You got to change your name.
Yeah, because Justin Worsham is not a rock and roll star.
No.
How many?
Justin West.
That's good.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Justin Michaels because Michael is my middle name.
But it makes me think of smooth jazz. What are you playing?
Justin Michaels is if you were the radio guy playing the rock stars.
Oh, that's good.
Justin Michaels coming in with your 5 o'clock, five hits in a row.
Sounds like your mom's yelling at you. Justin Michael!
That's what happened. That's where I came from.
Pretty much.
Added an S on there. But you know, the reason why I decided to not change my name when I started doing stand-up is because this is kind of embarrassing, but I wanted people in high school, if I made it on television, to be able to go, hey, it is him. Like, I didn't want them to go, hey, that Justin Michaels guy kind of looks like this.
Right.
He looks like a fat version of the kid we went to school with.
You could have taken your wife's maiden name. That would have been confusing.
Justin Hoffman?
It's not bad.
Oh. But then I would have gotten confused for Dustin, but he's got to kick the butt eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
The
kick
bucket.
The butt. Oh, my butt.
I think that's perfectly good thinking. I think the same way. I would have changed my name years ago because my entire life.
Yeah.
This is an impression of my entire life.
Ready? Go.
That's TENENBAUN. I must have said that 8 billion times in my life.
Oh, did you? Now, what are the misses?
Wasn't there a show called The Tannenbaums? I mean,
The Royal Tannenbaums.
Yeah. Film, and that's it.
That help? Did you have how much did your spelling drop?
That's true. Actually, that did help a lot. It did help. Again, people would say, you like The Royal Tannenbaums, and I'd say exactly.
But so, only after
so
you spell
R O A. What is wrong with you?
This is the kind of help you get at a Gelson's. You don't find that at Ralph's. You find lower end.
I'm going to Whole Foods.
Don't care who you are. They don't want to spell your name. They just want you to get the hell out of there.
Please leave.
Oh, I would have loved to have had like a name like Smith or
right?
Doe.
Or Miller.
Something
Doe.
That's Doe. Now, would you go DOE?
Or Q Public.
Would you go DOE or would you go Doe like the bread?
You know, I would go DOE.
Yeah.
The way John does.
Q Public is pretty awesome.
Q Public.
Is anybody named Q Public?
Somewhere.
Everybody is. I think that's what Q Public is.
Yeah, but I.
What was that movie? Wasn't there a movie?
John Q Public.
Yeah, with
exactly.
Denzel. Yeah.
But I want my last name to just be the word Q Public. Spelled Q P A.
Most people would be able to spell it.
Right.
Welcome to America.
It's Tannenbaum.
Bruce Doe.
Bruce Doe. Bruce. Yeah, that's yeah, something
that's
I
like
buy.
A porn star.
Yeah, yeah. Or you, I go frat guy. Like I go Bruce Doe. Like because it becomes your nickname, your whole name becomes Bruce Doe. Oh.
Yeah,
but it's all like because you want to say Bruce E, I guess is but
Bruce E.
Hey Bruce D. But if Bruce you go Doe, Bruce Doe yeah. it seems like it, there should Bruce Doe E or something. I don't know.
It's a lot of sounds.
Brucey Doe.
So I was at this rock and roll convention.
On target.
No idea how we got to wherever.
Yeah,
we got to.
Well, this is
oh,
why
I was saying that my name is sucks. That's what I was saying. So you were saying that you didn't want to change your name because you wanted to make sure.
Because you were saying you were an exec.
Same exec.
Yeah. Now we're back. So you're at this rock and roll convention because you
because
at
I
this
was important
at this time you as are because you are no longer an exec. Is it fair to say you're retired or? Did they say get the hell
like
out of our building? What had
well,
that happen?
They did say that. I don't like to use that word because it makes me feel old, so I don't say it.
Bruce is far from old.
The truth of the matter is that I 21. Left the business at a fairly young age and decided to chase my life's dreams.
Nice. Which are?
Sleeping a lot, I guess. I don't know.
Have you accomplished that dream?
Very well.
Bruce,
actually, I'm a terrible sleeper. What am I talking about?
Bruce is living, in my opinion, like, I consider myself to be pretty close to being a guy's kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Bruce is living the guy's guy life. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he is doing. He may not admit to it, but just like people, you know, look at me and, like, I don't know. You know how you're not aware of what you are to other people?
Yes, kind
of?
We've had many conversations about this.
Especially with me. The,
always about you.
Bruce. Bruce is, he's the guy, he's living that dream life. He was a record, he was around rock and roll people, right? You know?
Now I'm around you.
But this is because you're coming down to us. You're
No, not coming down.
No, yes, you are.
It's exciting as hanging out with Robert Plant.
Absolutely, that's true.
At least you're not asking me for blow.
See, this is what is so great is that he has these kick-ass stories about giving cocaine to rock and roll legends, right? What do I have? I have
a 1-year-old son.
I have I almost let out the thing that we had to edit out of the podcast that one time about where Natalie and I did the naughty. I was going to say that was the, for whatever reason that flashes the exciting.
That's
time.
What you thought of the one that's thing we've had.
I was
out.
Trying to think of what the apex of my life is. You know, as far as excitement, because I know, I'm married, I have a kid, blah blah blah. But excitement. Excitement.
I would be excited.
You travel all around.
But see, that's the way it is.
I would be,
That's what I was going to ask you today when I knew you were coming on the show. I'm like, I would imagine that when you live the quintessential guy's guy life, like Bruce Tannenbaum does.
The Bachelor of Bachelors.
As the Royal Tannenbaum, right?
Baum.
that then you look at guys, you know, jackasses like myself who, you know, got married when he was 21, now has a kid and all that stuff. And you're like, that would have been nice. Yeah. But it's only because you've done that.
If I was living the guy's guy. Life,
you are.
Then I would never want your life. You know, I mean, if I was like Hugh Hefner, you know, living in a mansion surrounded by Playboy bunnies, no, I wouldn't want to be married. Well, but since I'm not actually living that life that you've painted for me.
Okay, but here's the thing: like you have at some point you have dated younger women, right? I would even go with predominantly through your life.
Aren't you married to a younger woman?
Not younger than me. No, I mean, by 9 months.
Well, then she's younger than.
Oh, come on,
Bruce. Younger woman.
Come on, Bruce.
You're saying significantly younger.
Yes. I don't know
what that is.
I'm saying, to me, 2 years would be significant. Well,
you take half of your age and then add 7. That's the youngest you should date at any given time. So
that
you
would
ever
be 597. I'm trying to get the number here. I'm
pretty sure God restricted people's ability to live past 120.
Not in the Bible.
that's where it was. That's what I'm quoting.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
As you can tell, I'm a Bible expert.
See, again, living the guy's guy life.
Talk about the Bible.
He doesn't have time for the Bible.
There's TV guides to read.
You can't worry.
When did he do that? Because Noah
early
lived,
on.
Well, Noah lived like
it was after that.
Year. It was after.
Yeah.
But when?
It was just before Moses. This is in that track. I'll look it up.
It was after Noah, before Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And why did he decide that?
This is great.
Had something to do with the genealogy. He just and it, during the description, it says like this person lived to be 1,000 years, 800.
And he thought that was.
And he's like, now mankind can only live no more than 120.
So you're saying basically because he's impetuous.
I don't know what that word means.
One morning he woke up and went, I don't like this long life.
No more of that. Probably had something to do with it.
Nobody's living it up like Bruce Tannenbaum will.
He didn't say it that way. He went, I no longer want to.
Have people live long.
I didn't realize God was the emperor from the dark side.
That's what the character was modeled after.
Have you looked around the world?
Wow.
Have you taken a good look at the globe?
This is great already. I'm loving this because I think what's happening is the Christian and the Jew are talking Old Testament.
Exactly.
When we have blow stories about rock and roll stuff.
So I was hanging with Robert Plant and I was giving him some blow.
And I'm like, blow's not doing it. Because that's the other thing I was going to say in my heaping praise upon Bruce is that. The, you know, living the guy life, he's very good with, you know, with his money. I've had multiple conversations with this guy about, like, you know, the stock market and things like that. And I'm like, I go, see, this is where I want to be. But, you know, I obviously it would be kind of screwed up if I ditched my wife and my kid. And I'm like, and I'm, you know, going solo, you know, living the bachelor life. But
I've been asking you to do that for 10 years.
I didn't.
Come on.
Now you put me in an uncomfortable situation. Because that's how I plan to retire.
Aww.
When I go, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get a golden shake, handshake, and a golden shake. It's a vanilla shake. I call it golden.
Go take a golden shower also.
That's what I'm retiring to. Oh. That's what I want to do. I want to retire to eventually have girls in their early 20s golden shower me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And that's how I want to go out, with a big bang. That's my, is my plan.
And you said earlier there was something that you had to edit out one of these podcasts. What could that possibly have been?
I don't think. I could be wrong. Here's what's happened. I say things that I don't, they just fall out of my mouth here. And then when I don't want to sound like I'm trying to like sound like a like I'm so real like on the show or, and it's not that. It's that I'm dumb. So I will say things and then my wife will go, yeah, you can't say that, you know, or my good partner here, Kevin's like, you know, you may not want to say that. Yeah. That might not be a good idea.
So you think she'll be okay with the golden shower?
Oh yeah, that she doesn't care
totally
about.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very understanding, so that's why if she says something, I'm like, okay, we got to take it out.
Okay, cool.
Period. End of story. So how did? Here's what I want to know. How did you? Were you always in the record business?
Yeah, I was born into it.
Well, like when awesome. You lived in L.A. Because I know you're from New York.
No, I was in it in New York and then went to Los Angeles.
And then it brought you out here.
That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here because it came.
I certainly didn't come out here for the pizza.
Is that what you miss most? How often do you get to go back?
God. You know, I used to go back all the time, but since I retired, I don't. You know, and especially since the 9/11 thing, yeah. I don't like to fly. Not because I'm afraid, but I don't.
Were you in New York?
Security. And
yeah,
stuff.
It's work.
Yeah. I was out here.
Yeah,
it's just a pain in the butt. I only go to Las Vegas because I can drive there. I go to Las Vegas like 100 times a year.
That's a lot.
Guy's guy life. He's going out to Vegas
all the
right?
time because I can drive.
Yeah, you just go out there, have a party.
Oh man.
Do you go now? Here's the thing: do you go solo or do you go with like a bunch of dudes? You go with like three chicks.
What sometimes do you do? I go solo. Sometimes I go with a bunch of chicks.
Now when you go,
sometimes I go with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah,
but don't read anything into that.
I'm sure you're around during the sex
Actually,
revolution.
It's different every single time.
So when you go solo, do
a couple
you have...
times I went with my mom.
Yes, see, there you go. See, he's a guy who loves his mother. Again, a good guy. If there's a lady who's not interested in a long-term commitment,
what are you saying?
Size 34, 24, 36.
I think he wants a long-term commitment.
I would like a long-term.
You would?
Yeah.
Would. If there's a lady out there
lady.
Who wants to talk about a long-term commitment, but probably shouldn't be in it for the long haul.
That's what long-term commitment. You know, he can hear you when you put your hand on the side
I'm
of your
not
mic
worried
like
about
that.
Him. I'm helping a brother out, okay? He's
Wait
he's,
a minute. You just envied his ability to live a bachelor's lifestyle. What help can you possibly give him?
Let me tell you about how much salt you're throwing in his fucking game right now.
I'm just
okay?
It's more your game. He's doing fine on his own.
Cuz here's what he's doing. He's going nice guy route. He's like, "No, I want a long-term relationship," but he knows what's up. He's going to get, you know, 24 or something or whatever, banging around a little bit. As soon as she hits the 3-0, that's when it's expired like milk. Kick it to the curb. You got to toss it, right?
In Genesis 6:3.
I used to work with Genesis.
Did you know?
I know a lot more about them than I know about Genesis. Good book.
So the Lord said, "My spirit will not remain in humankind indefinitely, since they are mortal. They will remain for 120 more years. And then that was it.
You actually looked that up.
Yeah.
He's now, got the whole Bible.
But what does that follow? I mean, what? Why?
It's Dave Avery.
Just because he woke up on the wrong side of the bed?
No, no, no. It has to do with, we're right before Moses is instructed, or Noah's instructed to go build the ark. So he's generally not happy with mankind.
I got it. Dave Avery created an application for the iPhone and iPod Touch.
I heard that this morning, yeah.
Have the iPod, you could have the Bible. No, that's the one you have.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You looked up his name?
No, you said it last time.
And you've remembered his name?
I gotta you don't remember who wrote the Bible?
David, it was Paul Avery, but yes, very
well,
impressive.
David was the one who had the idea. He did all, you see, Paul is the one who got all the writing.
Was
right?
That Tex Avery? I thought Tex Avery.
It's the same thing.
But Dave, he's the technical guy.
So there.
No fucking multiplying. Now I'm Curly. Somehow Curly got into a Looney Tunes.
Be very quiet.
So you came.
We're building a salt altar.
Did you say a salt boat?
I don't know what I said.
A salt altar.
A salt altar. I mean, I kind of combined the Abraham story with the Moses story.
The pillar of salt.
And the Sodom and Gomorrah.
My favorite part about this is that you guys can make all of these references, and all of them are going
in your head.
In my head.
Really? Like, Sodom and Gomorrah, you don't get?
Mm-mm.
Abraham.
You heard of Sodom.
Ah, yes, I know Abraham. He's the one who cut down the cherry tree and then freed the black kids.
That was Washington and Abraham.
What?
And Washington never did that first thing.
I think we've established history is not my thing.
That's true. But you know who Noah is?
Huh?
Noah's Ark?
Ooh, Noah's Ark. Yes, Steve Carell, great movie, loved it.
You like that movie?
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah,
it was the most expensive comedy ever made.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
Really?
Yeah. When I worked at Universal, we had to tell everybody.
You worked at Universal?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was the special effects stages show down in the lower lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I used to work at Universal.
What's that?
I used to work at Universal, and then we would, the best thing about working at Universal is during the day when we'd be bored for a few minutes, we'd take one of those little carts.
Yes.
And the great thing about working on the lot is if you're in a little cart, people think you belong there. Like,
yeah.
Nobody ever questions
they
you.
They won't stop you.
So we would ever. So we would take the little carts and we'd go up to like the Psycho House and stuff. Nice. And get out and run around. And the tour would come by. Like the people would come by in the tram.
And you'd stop and look at an official.
We'd just wave at them.
Nice. You know,
in the tram, out there, some people walking by. They're just waving to them, everybody.
Doing maintenance.
So you're in picture books and people's photo albums just waving.
Oh, I got another story like that. I used to work with a guy named Craig who looked like Kenny Loggins. And the people would always say to him, "You look like Kenny Loggins." Because he looked like Kenny Loggins. And one day...
That's a good reason. That's a good
reason. My mind.
One day we were in Boston for some kind of, business or whatever. And then he said, meet me tomorrow morning at 12 in the lobby and then we'll go to the airport. So I get down to the lobby and I can't find him. And I go outside and he's there taking pictures with a bunch of people.
That's awesome.
You know,
Kenny Loggins?
As Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
So, that's you know, awesome. That somewhere in Boston or in the area, there's people that have a picture of him on their
On their mantle. Going, this is when we met Kenny Loggins.
Right.
He was down at the park having a good time.
You sound just like somebody from Boston.
That's what I do. I bring voices to the table. Not history, voices.
Oh.
Dialects is what we call them in the theater with an R-E.
As opposed to an ER.
Yeah, that's American theater, and I don't do that mumbo.
Plus, that shows off the air.
Unless it's Mammoth, because that's classy.
Really? No. Really? You're going to bust up Mammoth? You don't know who Noah and Moses are, but you know who Mammoth is?
I have priorities.
Apparently.
You know why? I don't remember that many F-bombs being dropped in the Bible. That's how you hold my interest. You drop some fucks in there, and then I'm like, okay.
I'm going to find you a version of the Bible with the F-bomb being dropped
in it. Where you got to go? Dave Avery. The technical guy. He was like, I know how to get these people. Paul's still hung up on the integrity part. So you go Dave Avery's version of the Bible on the iPod Touch or iPhone. Boom. You get a little fucking...
Bam. Speaking of which...
You realize this was fucking good.
Does Bruce have any dates yet on Skype? Has anybody called in?
There? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh. I thought you were building him up to be...
Well, I was going into it, yeah. But
yeah, go ahead.
So here's what we... If ladies want to, here's what you could do. You could contact our show and I could forward your information because we don't want to give out his number. We don't want to give out his
information. You say forward the information or forge the information?
I'm going to forward it.
Oh, I'm going to forge it out of steel and copper.
I'm going to forge it into a lifelong union, which probably should only last about a year, year and a half.
I will forge the head.
But here's what's in it.
You mentioned they need to submit photographs?
Yes, so please submit photographs, preferably nude, all right, because we don't want to mess around, lady.
Make sure they're not hiding anything.
We could hook you up with the bra lady, though.
Oh, with the Virginia the bra lady.
Yeah. What?
Huh? Yeah, it's one of our lady. Radio podcast regulars.
She's listener slash guest slash. Yeah,
aren't they all?
Yeah, I guess everybody. Yeah, but she does bras. She fits bras because she has the huge testicles. That you know, that's what she's got to deal with. It's weird because I feel like even though
that's not why she does it. I mean, she didn't.
I'm sorry.
Why you look shocked?
I thought that was why. I thought we had a conversation where she said, "This is. I know that it's hard for women to find the right size bra."
But I believe she doesn't. That might have been one of the reasons she started.
How does she help women to find the right size bra? Does she have different size boobs? Everything like, so that she can fit
her boobs, Bruce. This
they
is why you're gonna love it. It's gonna be like being with a different woman every time.
They're like
her boobs are malleable, like Play-Doh.
She holds her breath and goes. And they get really big.
And then when she wants to make them small, she takes like a thing you would peel carrots with, and she just shaves them down.
Oh!
No, it doesn't hurt her. It doesn't hurt her.
I was thinking she would just let the air out.
Yeah, that's
you went to like the Freddy Nightmare.
Well, you got to mold him.
The 13th version.
I thought you had to mold him. You could just let the air out on him.
Yes.
Oh, that's why they call them balloons.
Don't let Virginia come over to this house with you when you're peeling potatoes.
I have tried to see her bazoomas, and I have not been able to.
So, is that her name is Virginia.
Virginia, yes. Yeah.
So yeah, ladies, send it in because here's a bonus: you get to go to Vegas at least 100 times a year if you like Vegas.
At least one of those 100 times.
Maybe if you live in Vegas, contact us and we'll set you up with the Bruce Tannenbaum.
It's like a one in three if you're going to Vegas. That's like every 3 days you're in Vegas.
A third of the year you could go out on a date.
Have you been in Vegas a lot?
We went for my 30th birthday back a year and a half ago.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Tell them what we did.
Why wouldn't you go there 100 times?
I'm just impressed. It's a lot of time in the car.
The reason why I think Bruce goes to Vegas and the reason why I say you and I would go to Vegas are two entirely different reasons. Mm. Like you, well, even for me, different from you. Like you like to gamble. Yeah, I don't like to gamble.
True.
Do you like to gamble?
You know, I do. Yeah. I never did. I want to say this. I never. In fact, we took a bunch of guys from radio many years ago when I was in the rock and roll business. We went to Las Vegas for New Year's. We went a couple of days early, and I at that time hated Vegas so much that I left before New Year's. Like I was there for one day.
Wow.
And left. I never enjoyed, but then I learned how to play craps, which is the greatest game of all time.
Oh, see, I've tried to do that where they do the quarter thing and they teach you, and now it's fun for
you. It's the greatest game ever.
Now, when you play craps, do you have like a woman who's like blowing on your dice, or
so to speak?
Come on, do you get into the mama needs a new pair of shoes?
That's what's great about playing craps is first of all you've got all different types of people. You got young people, you got old people, you got guys, girls, but you also got like the cast of Guys and Dolls standing there, and there's always some guy that walks up and starts using lingo you've never heard before. I don't know what he's talking about, but he's a little Joe on the five, but it's like, what?
Putting a roof on the house. Here we go.
Yeah, right. Anything, by the way, this sounds like that. Give me a new computer.
That's all you got to do is just throw in some kind of stereotypical New York type accent, like second generation removed, kind of where you got just sound like
shit
Frank
on my
Sinatra.
Shingle.
Yeah, throw some shit on my shingle. Come on, baby. Come on, mama. This makes me, because this would make gambling fun for me, is that if I could go to a craps table and then just walk up to a table and just start saying phrases.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh,
let's
get
see
the
what
black
happens
out of his teeth. You know?
You have a double deuce, awesome, sir. What does that mean?
It's a ball. It's a lot of fun. And one time we went there, I was with Rick, you know, Rick Kent.
Ricky Kent.
And we played with, he's an actor. He's a midget, short guy. What do you say these days? What's the
depends
right?
Depends on how
person?
Tall he is. If he's a dwarf, you say dwarf. If he's a real midget, you say little person.
Yeah. I call them imaginary.
All right, so I was with this imaginary guy.
Yeah.
No, there was he's on the guy who was on Seinfeld. Remember the midget, short guy, dwarf, whatever the heck he was?
Imaginary character on Seinfeld.
Yeah, character I'm talking
I don't.
About.
I'm Kramer still back on imaginary character.
He had a sidekick.
The mini him or
it was a
little
short
Kramer?
Was it the guy that was on Scrubs?
Yes, he was the guy on Scrubs. Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyhow, he was playing craps, so they had him on a
foot
chair.
They brought in a
chair, which normally
sure.
And he was standing on that, and it was just fun to play with. But it was cool because he would high five you when
And he could probably count on one of his little hands.
If you've never high-fived a guy that little, yeah. It's really kind of cool.
He's probably never high-fived Bruce. I mean, think about it. How many opportunities does he get to high-five anybody? That's why he plays craps. That's the opportunity for high-fives. Literally high-five, because everybody else is getting down on a knee.
That's what I assumed it was.
Yeah. It's not about winning money. It's not about losing money. It's about high-fives. That's why he's through. I've never seen anybody high-five somebody.
You
want to
know what it's like? You hold up your hand. Okay. The people out there won't get this
one. Yeah, but I'll watch.
Oh. Bruce put his thumb, pointer finger, and middle finger together. So it's like a tiny high five.
Yeah.
That's the part that was uncomfortable for you.
It wasn't uncomfortable. It was kind of like, wow, that's kind of weird.
Was it slow like that? When you did it, you kind of kissed his hand just now.
Well, because on the way here, and you're thinking, okay, how's this going to work?
Yeah. You go slow. You go. Yeah, you start to come, and you go, am I going to hurt? Because you don't want to be the guy, especially if he's a famous imaginary person.
Or winning at the craft stage.
And he's winning. You high-five him, push him off his chair, because that's not OSHA approved.
Well, it's also, you know when like really tall girls go out with the short guys, they'll wear flats, and they'll try to shrink down a little bit. Same thing. You see him, and your hand is approaching, and you're trying to make your hand smaller so that.
Which you can't really, then it just turns into a fist you can't.
Yeah. You're just thinking, oh, I don't want to swallow up this guy's hand here.
Because it turns into you holding his hand. What if the momentum of your big hand going towards his little hand, he hits you in the center and then it just engulfs, and then you accidentally do a touch and drag, and he thinks that you're misunderstanding
and
his
you're in
high.
Las Vegas. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Yes. What happens there stays there.
And you pull him off his chair and he falls and breaks his nose.
And it's like my mom always says, everybody should have at least one homosexual experience with an imaginary being. That's what she always told me.
I think she was talking about masturbation.
Oh.
Wait a minute. What are you guys saying? You're supposed to jerk off thinking about a guy? What is the...
Well, I got to go call a Cyclops real quick and say, I am sorry. That should have just been me going solo.
I think we just found a spot to edit on this.
What? My wife would be fine with that. She met the Cyclops. They're friends on Facebook.
Oh.
Is he imaginary?
Yeah.
How did she meet him on Facebook?
I created a profile.
That is a lot of commitment.
Well, we were together for a while.
Did you feel bad about using him?
Yes. Yeah. That's why I feel like I should call him, because I thought it was because my mom was giving me these tidbits of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then I have this, you know, wild, just crazy summer romance with the Cyclops. And then I was like,
the fact that you've chosen the word Cyclops as your imaginary heterosexual.
Well, I don't know if he was technically a Cyclops. He had a patch. One eye was missing. So, I mean, I would imagine that would make him a Cyclops because...
Or a pirate, one or the other.
Yeah, he might have been a pirate.
Pirates are imaginary now, unless they're in Somalia, so maybe it was him, too. He could have. So he's
or
a pirate
Sparrow.
What if he's a pirate Cyclops? Cyclops pirate? Which goes first?
Pirate Cyclops. Cyclops pirate. Cyclops pirate. This is not easy to say.
We just invented a tongue twister. You're welcome, audience.
There you go. Now people are saying that on the bus, Cyclops.
So you're at a rock and roll convention.
I was hanging out with Robert Plant.
I appreciate Bruce just stops for a moment and lets us talk about things that don't make any sense.
Trying to catch up with what the hell you're talking about.
I know, right?
What do you want to know? You want to know stories?
Yes.
This is my favorite story.
All right.
It's not my favorite story. What did I say that for? I don't know why I said that. This is a good story.
Tell us your favorite story. I don't want to hear that crappy story.
I'll tell you the second favorite story.
Oh, well, that we're into. It's perfect.
If I tell you my favorite story, the girls might not write in. There were two guys I used to work with, both named Mark, and they were kind of like Abbott and Costello.
Was it Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Neither of those. It was just guys. And they're just regular working guys, promotion guys. And, you know, one was not tall, but he was thin, and the other guy was kind of small and stout. Uh-huh. So they were very much like an Abbott and Costello pair. And they were covering an AC/DC concert in Salt Lake City, which, by the way, you've ever been, have you been to Salt Lake City?
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
It's the craziest city on the planet.
Yeah. You know, Park City's nice on the other
side. It's like
the
Vegas for Mormons.
Yeah,
that's a nutty city. And when you get kids in an environment like that where they're told they can't do anything,
and then you
get
them
to a rock concert.
Yeah.
Oh man,
AC/DC. Like, because there's the thing about it. I discovered AC/DC later on in my life, and that you feel like they are the devil speaking to you, and you love it though. You're like, this is the best ever. So I can imagine these Mormons are just cutting loose like crazy.
There used to be controversy over the name of AC/DC. The right wing was very upset over it. They thought it stood for what the heck was it? Antichrist Devil Child.
Yes.
And then there was one guy that... I don't know.
But it's because they were former electricians from Australia.
Well, one guy said, if it doesn't stand for Antichrist Devil Child, what possibly could it stand for? And one of the members of the band said, I don't know, back where we come from, it says that on your outlet.
I didn't know that it was... I didn't know that there was any kind of meaning. I always just... That's how
Of course, it stands for power.
That's because they have the lightning bolt in between
that's
it.
True.
Right, yeah, sure. Good point.
Anyhow, so we're at this AC/DC concert, and the two of them are supposed to cover the concert. So when you're a promotion guy working for a label, you go to the show, you take radio guys to the show, maybe contest winners, introduce them to the band.
Stuff. It's like a modern version of like a PR person, am I right? Or is it a PR person even?
It's similar.
Because I feel like they're the ones who are responsible for getting press to cover the event. Yes. They're not covering the event, well, they're getting press.
PR people would deal with the press. Yeah. Promotion guys would deal with radio.
Oh, okay.
People like that and the artists.
Gotcha.
So anyhow, so they're supposed to cover the show. They decide to go skiing that day, and they get to the show late. And they show up, and the show's just about to begin.
Oh.
So they go in through the backstage entrance, and they find themselves under the risers, you know, the seats, basically. And they're trying, and it's dark because the lights have just been turned out. Mm. And when the show starts, the show always opens. You hear the opening bars of the opening number, and then a spotlight hits in the center of the arena.
Right.
And there's the lead singer. Who with the Angus, the guitar player, on his shoulders.
Yeah.
That's how the whole thing starts. So anyhow, so the lights are out.
Lead singer has guitar player on his shoulders.
That's right.
Got it.
So they get into the arena, and there's a lot of ambulances around, because this was the show where there was a crush at the gate, and some kids got injured.
Oh, no.
And they had to take them. So they're having
it's rock
a hard
and roll,
time.
Kevin. It's got to happen. You got to crack a few eggs.
So they're having a hard time finding
their eggs.
They're having a hard time finding their way. Did you know that on the equinox you could stand an egg on its edge?
Yeah, absolutely. Have first day of that? Spring. Oh, yeah. That's how we entertained ourselves for years as children, trying to do it every day of the year.
Trying to do it every day of the year?
I wanted to disprove it every day, going outside, eggs sitting on the pit.
And you wanted to be the guy to discover the second equinox or whatever?
Yeah, it would be right around now.
There actually are two equinoxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
there is? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's the same as the summer and winter solstice.
Exactly.
Right?
I was going to say, it's like this weekend, right? Would be the other equinox. Yeah, because summer's almost over.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Get a fucking egg, gentlemen. Get an egg.
It actually works the other way. You put the skinny side up this weekend, then it works.
Really?
No.
I'm buying it now. Well, I mean, I'm fooling for fun.
This guy just told us about how he spent every day of the year doing it. I'm like, why wouldn't we believe him?
Okay, so they're backstage. They're trying to find their way to the backstage sitting area, whatever, out into the crowd. And they're walking under the risers, and all of a sudden they hear, get out of the fucking way. And they turn around, and there's Angus, you know,
with the guitar player. They're playing
the
a game of chicken in a pool.
That's right. And the road manager is behind them trying to find their way into the audience. And so they're blocking the music's begun, the opening. So both of these two goofy guys, Mark and Mark, they take one step to the right. And the spotlight hits them. They stepped out into the arena. They didn't realize it. So there's like 20,000 cheering people, and the spotlight hits these two short Jewish guys.
That's awesome.
They're like, oh my God. They're like looking up like deer in the headlight.
At the light.
I love that.
And all
image.
These people are like,
wait, who are those two short guys?
That would be the best if that's what they're like. Because you don't have to go on for a while of them, because they probably only stood there for maybe a minute top.
A minute would be long.
Actually went like this.
And it literally stopped suddenly.
Wait,
hold on. Because there's a guy, big place, you know, the guys at the front go, wait, it's not them. It's not them.
What? It's not them.
What's going on? Did they say anything, or they just walked away?
They didn't
go into who's on first or anything?
No.
They had the opportunity.
Oh,
that was the awesome. First So You Think You Can Dance.
That reminds me of when Natalie got me tickets to see Tenacious D, and we went there and we saw a comic by the
name. Which actually is too old, young.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Rocky snuck up on us with the. So anyway, they came. Tenacious D was doing a concert at the Universal Amphitheater,
right?
And so we went there, and they had a comic. Rocky, go. Neil Hamburger was opening for them. And
Neil,
this guy...
Neil who?
Hamburger, have you ever seen... He does like a character, like a lounge singer character.
Is he that glove that wants me to
like
eat
Richard
some
Cheese?
Meat?
No. I don't know Richard Cheese. I just know that he dresses up in like a velvet-type tuxedo-type thing. Like it's a purple, and he has like 8 drinks in one arm, and he's constantly spilling them as he's bending over, and he's rotating through them as he does, and he does these horrible, filthy one-liner type jokes.
Oh.
And his gig, like Natalie was like, this guy is awful, and people were booing him and throwing beers at him and everything, and Natalie's like, why would Tenacious D choose this guy to open for them?
Right.
And I go, this guy is the perfect opener, because think of how excited everybody's going to be to see this guy end. Like, that's like this
the,
is
it's like the beautiful girl hanging out with the ugly girl.
Exactly, yeah. And he kept doing this thing where he's like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for, and he would turn up stage and the place would start to like cheer. Tenacious D's curtain. This is a black curtain that they I don't even think they brought it with them. Like, he would just go into that and they'd go, ah, boo. I'll start coming down on him. I used to stage manage concerts at Paramount.
Oh, so you were in the rock and roll business.
Kind of.
The Redwood Amphitheater in Santa Clara.
I had a thing where...
you did want to be in the rock and roll industry for a while. When that's true.
Well, you were in the rock and roll industry.
Kind of. I mean, I stage managed for the arena, like the amphitheater that we were at. I was the stage
manager. Worked at the sound studio.
For the concerts that would come through there. Mm-hmm. So my job would be to be kind of like a technical liaison between the tour manager or the stage manager that came with the entertainment talent, whatever you want to call them, band. And so I would make sure they had all their backline and ordered everything that they needed if they didn't come with it already. So anyway, this was because when I was working Great America, we had like they would let us work overtime on some days and let us work for the concerts. Mm-hmm. So I would stick around all night and help them push the cases up onto the trucks, and I loved it. So I decided that at one point, I was like, before I knew I was getting married, so before I had kids, I wanted to do one rock and roll tour is what I wanted to do. The closest I got was to FMA, like where we went to junior highs and set up a rock and roll stage and did a hip-hop show about Newton's Three Laws of Motion, and I was the tour manager. That was about as close as it came. But I did. My favorite concert was when Weird Al Yankovic came to the Redwood Amphitheater, because he had a stage manager by the name of Mongo. And Mongo was crazy eccentric. Like, everything that you would imagine about a Weird Al like concert, it happened. Like, and then I can't remember the guy's name, but he had this guy who did lights for him, and we're putting together trusts, and they were talking, and he goes, hey, I heard Dave let his girlfriend come on the bus the other day or whatever, and they were like, yeah, she lasted all about 15 minutes before somebody was whipping out their balls or something. And wow. I was like, and I go, and I'm sitting there just putting together trusts, like laughing.
Because your balls would be the first thing they would whip out.
Exactly. He goes, and I'm like, this is the life I want to live. And so
dreamy.
Hey, so anyway,
hey, sweetheart.
So he goes, you know, that's almost, bringing his girlfriend is almost as dumb as when I brought that midget I was dating on the bus. You know? And he goes, and he sees me kind of like laughing, and he looks down at me, and we had this weird moment of eye contact. He goes, yeah, I was dating this midget. He goes, the best part about dating a midget is her little hands made my cock look so huge.
You know, earlier when you were talking about that story, I knew this story was going to come up. I'm surprised the story didn't come up then.
Oh, when he brought up the imaginary
person? I was waiting for you to tell that story.
Weirdly enough, that didn't remind me of it. It's the rock and roll stuff that reminded me.
That got you there. It was all under the surface.
That and the other cool thing I got to do was I got to shine a flashlight on a piece of conduit that kind of stuck out near the exit of the stage. So when Sugar Ray ran off the stage, I had to light that little section so Sugar Ray didn't trip as they were running off.
They're probably still thinking about it. That guy saved our lives.
Lighting the stage.
Yeah, Mark McGrath, he was like, gave me a little, he need that nothing. No, he didn't even
look at me. That didn't happen. Wasn't the FMA tour where the whole point was that you were supposed to be encouraging kids in elementary schools to stay in the math and sciences because somebody in elementary school will likely be on the trip to Mars that's supposed to happen in
that
the
next NASA's years. Opinion was that the real reason was because there were, I don't know how entertaining this is, but the real reason was because there was this huge dip in colleges of like engineering majors, science majors, things like that. So NASA, Honeywell said, well, you know, we need them for what we do, and so realistically there are more jobs building air conditioners and thermostats and vacuum cleaners for engineers and scientists than there are building spaceships. But spaceships are cool. So it's like, if we can get kids interested with this show, make it a little marketing thing, blah, 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 then it would be great for everybody.
Well, the reason
they're outsourcing all these jobs. We're bringing in all right. these people from, like, India, say, where you're
going. We're a global community. The reason why I brought it up is because that one scientist got up there and misquoted the fact and said something like...
that's right. He goes, this guy, we bring in... This was so stupid. They would bring in these people from Honeywell, and it wasn't like PR people, wasn't marketing people. They would bring in sometimes actual engineers, and these people didn't want to get up in front of 200, 400 kids and talk, but they were expected to for 5 minutes. And so one guy came up, and he goes, and they would give him the talking points because there would be news there and everything. So this guy gets in front of this class and he goes, here's the thing, guys. He goes, we are going to go to Mars just like we went to the moon. He goes, and so the thinking is now, but by what
we got a bus on back here.
Exactly.
Out right now. Yeah, we're going to
do interviews going to Mars.
He goes, the idea is that NASA's thinking that somebody in your class right now is going to be the person to walk on Mars.
When was this?
This was 5 years ago, or 4 years ago.
Yeah, totally realistic.
Yeah. Okay. And he goes, so somebody in this class is going to walk on Mars. Well, maybe not this class. And so the guy, like, what was funny is talking to the guy beforehand, the guy was afraid that he was putting all this pressure on these kids, like, you guys have to be the one to produce. Like, they're going to become
one of you must go to Mars.
Exactly. They're going to decide, oh, now we have to form a tribe, and we have to elect a leader. Who's going to, we have to, that's our life goal now, is we got to figure out which one of us is going to Mars.
I want to watch that reality show.
I think the biggest failure of the space program is that they haven't had these great spokespeople. They're basically scientists and engineers, whatever. It's now that's changing, though. If you watch some of these shows on the History Channel, they have like these hot, like, astrophysicist chicks.
Really? Completely unrelated to the industry.
No, they're astrophysicists. Really? They find themselves like the most compelling people now.
And they
put them on TV shows.
Like Al Gore.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's like we were talking about on the last show is that they're doing this thing. I talked about this biodesign. I saw this documentary about global warming, blah blah blah, and so I'm talking to this local company here that does this, and so the PR person contacted me and she said, well, can you send me some sample shows so I can get an idea of who to send, because they're concerned, like, with what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They want to send the right person. So if this is kind of a comedy show, I guess she's going to send us the Yuck Yuck scientist.
Oh, I hope
which
so.
I hope he comes with like one-liner jokes.
Oh, that'd hilarious. Be great. That he's just written out on a piece of paper, or he's looking at them on his iPod.
Because he's in Los Angeles, or she, you know, they've got it. Maybe they have aspirations, like, yeah, rocket sciences, or I'm a big-time architectural engineer. But what I really want to do is, I just want to get a Type 5 to get on the Tonight Show.
What do you think the odds are me for opening for you, huh, Mr. Worsham?
That would be awesome.
He comes trying to work that angle.
I go slim to none, buddy. Unless he's really funny, or she. She's in.
Yeah, she's in.
I need a chick to travel with, yeah, right? Daddy can't be alone all the time.
Man on the road.
Yeah. So here, how far have we gotten in your life?
I don't know. We were talking about.
What got you into the record business in New York? What made you decide?
I can't remember.
You know, so
really? Wow.
You just fell into it, or?
No, I worked at my college radio station.
Uh huh.
And there were these guys. They would come by and they'd bring me records and they would give me tickets to concerts. And I thought, that's kind of cool. I want to do that. And then one of them one day said,
Do you want to do this?
Yeah. And I went, yes. Yeah, sure. Plus, they take me out to dinner, and I was able, when I was a kid, my father, I don't want to say he was cheap. He was frugal. And and the main thing that I wanted to have when I went out to dinner was a shrimp cocktail, because he would never let us order those because they're the most expensive thing on the menu.
Mm-hmm. Next to the lobster or the steak.
Well,
which is why you love going to Vegas so much, because you can get shrimp tacos. They'll pay you to eat a shrimp cocktail.
Well, actually, once I got an expense account, I got into the music business, I had a shrimp cocktail every meal I had for the first 5 years.
That's awesome.
And then one day I realized, I don't really like shrimp.
You blew it. So
they said, do you have a job for you? And I took it. That was pretty much it. People for years would ask me, how do you get into the music business? And I'd say, I don't know. You kind of hang out and somebody comes and offers you a job.
See, this is again why it's great to be the Bruce Tannenbaum, because you fell in. I'm sure, maybe it's harder now. I don't know. But like
it wasn't easy then. I just lucked out.
You lucked into it, though.
The truth is that if you're just, you're in a... a field that's related to it.
Yeah.
You might work at a record store. You might work at a concert venue or at a college radio station or a regular radio station. Some will come along once they work with you. I hired people. When I ended up becoming a executive running things, and I would hire people that either had done it before or people that I would meet in related fields. So there was a guy who, every time I went to a show out in New Jersey at the Brendan Byrne Arena, He always took really good care of us. And one day I said to him, "You're really good at taking care of people. You'd be a good promotion guy."
Oh,
so
boom.
I hired him.
Man.
So you hired him.
Yeah.
Now, how many, like, did you have to deal? I imagine if you're an executive that you have lots of people kissing up to you and stuff like that.
Oh, everybody.
That,
everybody's kissing your ass because you have a big budget and you hire people and you spend money. Yeah. And, you know, but
we're kissing up to you right now.
Yeah. So not enough.
Well, let me get you some more water, sir.
I know. Oh, crap. This is not going good.
I thought we were. Do you want brownies? You don't like chocolate.
We've been doing
this. That woman already. Where is she?
She's on line three.
We've been doing this show for 37 weeks now. Just for this moment. We've been preparing for this moment alone. I started doing comedy so it wouldn't be too obvious.
Right.
Anyhow, so people, they kiss up to you. You know, but I was never under the illusion that these people were my close personal
friends. Sure. That's smart.
That's really? Is it that thing where it's like, does it become lonely at the top kind of thing because of that?
No, I had a great time. Okay, I had a lot of fun because I was an incredible boss.
Yeah,
I really was.
Nice.
I was the boss that I wish I could have as a boss. Because I made him work hard, but I took care of people and I
you played hard too.
You work hard, you play hard.
Yeah. I was a decent person.
So what about then? Is this too much of an obvious question then to get into? Are there any like famous assholes that like would be fun to hear about from the music industry?
Most of them work in the industry. You know, as far as the artists are concerned, I think that it's like anything else. Some of them are really nice guys, and some of them are, you know.
Right.
The problem you have with anybody who's famous, whether it's a rock star or a TV star or athlete or whatever it is people are always people want to be their friends. They want to be with them.
Yeah, yeah,
so they're always giving them things. And they're always telling them what they want to hear. You know the story.
You get a lot of sunshine blown.
Yeah. So there are some people that can handle that and are still human beings. And there are other people that fall for it and become deluded. Plus, you know, if you're in that position that you know where, let's face it, anybody can act. Yeah. Really? I mean, there's skill.
Maybe not well, but yeah.
There's skill involved.
Sure.
But when I say anybody, there is certainly not everybody, but there's tons of people that can do it.
There are
and
lots.
Only a few people get to have a career doing
it.
Yeah. So once you get that moment, whether you're a rock star or an actor or any of these, even an athlete, although an athlete, athletics is a little bit more defined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can hit the ball out of the park, you're going to get a job.
That's true.
You know, if you can kick a ball through the uprights, you're going to get a job.
That's why I stopped doing commercial auditions and started doing stand-up because it was explained to me that comedy is like what you're saying the athletics are. Is that if you make them
laugh, you'll have a
job.
And
you do it good and you do it. It's almost broken down to a science of laughs per minute. If I can make them laugh so many times per minute, then that means I'm going to keep moving forward and forward and forward.
Yeah, but the other industry is so subjective.
Exactly.
If you're, you know, a good actor, it doesn't matter. Doesn't mean you're going to get work.
No. You need a shot.
You need a shot. You need somebody to give you the opportunity. And same thing in rock and roll. There's a lot of great musicians, a lot of great bands that don't get the opportunity, and some that do get the opportunity, but for some reason the public doesn't grasp it.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean that they're not good.
Yeah.
It just didn't connect at the right time.
Or it means they're arrested development.
Or.
The TV show? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the band. Because they had their moment. There was a band around.
You don't remember? Tennessee. Tennessee. Isn't that Arrested Development?
I got it on my iPod.
I have it right here, dude.
You do?
Oh, man. Yeah, I have an iPod, too.
Hush.
We're all going to whip out our iPods.
You
hush. Where did my...
Genesis 5 says, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. How can you not like...
All right, while you're looking for that.
No, I have it right here. See, this is... I can't believe...
You know, in the olden days, guys used to whip out other things. Now we all whip out our iPods, our iPhones.
And isn't it great that the world that we live in, that you have everything... Like, each of us were like, I got it.
You could be able to search the web now and find Richard Cheese, that I mentioned earlier. Have you never heard Richard Cheese?
No. Is he a musician or a comic?
He does a lounge act. And he does songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, except...
Richard Cheese,
Yes, I have heard of him.
I thought it was Cheeseman.
So, well, here's the thing. I have another... Well, okay, I'm sorry.
No, I really did thought it was Cheeseman.
Finish making my point.
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is, if you're an actor or a rock star and you've achieved a certain amount of success, there's always got to be the doubt that, how do I keep this success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think that makes people paranoid and fearful, and when they are, they act out sometimes. So,
Do you think, in your experience, that... that there's predominantly, because I have this theory that the jobs that I've gotten in my career have been mostly because I've been not necessarily the most talented person, but because I've been the most, say, reliable or the nice guy or whatever. But I often find, though, that there are people who excel through it who seem to have that kind of asshole, like pompous type.
Well, yeah, because some, you know what, I think that
I mean, who can explain as to how the assholes get ahead?
Yeah.
People would like to hire and give shots to good people.
Yes.
Nice, because you want to work with the people that you want to work with.
Yeah. But do you think that there is this kind of majority of those, you know, arrogant jerks kind of thing, or no?
You know, again, we go back to what I was saying. You take somebody and give them everything they want, a lot of money, adulation, you know. Being on a stage, you're on a stage, you do stand-up. Can you imagine being on a stage in front of 20,000 people every night, and they love you?
Yes.
Yeah, love you. Obsessively.
I mean, you know, they'll do anything. You get those people coming backstage, anything to get close to you.
Yeah.
So the people are, you know.
It inflates your ego. That's a good point. I never, because here's the, like, a lot of people give a lot of flack to Dane Cook, and I mean, not to say that I'm better than these people, but as much as I've heard him do, you know, douchebag type things and, you know, upstairs at the Laugh Factory to other up and coming comics and stuff, is that I feel like he's in a very difficult position in that, for whatever reason, he's a guy who became incredibly successful, who was not perceived as being amazing by his peers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because he's perceived by being amazing by the public, that for whatever reason does not give him the credit that he needs to get his peers, fellow comics, you know, like say a Louis C.K. or anything. And it's because they point the finger and say that he's stolen material. Now, I don't know. I don't know the guy well enough to feel comfortable. I know that, yes, there are examples of his jokes being similar to other people. But it's like, and then now people are, even his fans, I hear, complain, like, I used to like him when I heard, like, his first two albums, but now I don't like him. It's like, well, how do you have the same level of intimacy and connection with a crowd and with your material when you go from performing in front of 200-300 tops in a comedy club to now you're recording your albums at Madison Square Garden?
Right, but I think you can also make those choices as a comic. I mean, throughout history, there have been people like George Carlin, who are tremendously successful.
Jeff Foxworthy.
That they don't choose to do things that are not conducive to great comedy.
Yeah, because George Carlin recorded a lot of his specials in like 1,200 seat, you know, theaters. They weren't huge, you know, but they were bigger than a comedy club, but still had that intimate feel, you know, to them.
Although Jerry Seinfeld has played very, very large places and, you know, he still goes over. So, I don't want to bash Dane Cook myself, but it's
possible. You can.
Well, it's possible he's not funny.
Yeah, it's possible. No, I do think.
I think you're making a point.
Yeah.
Yes, that you get to a certain size, and it, you know, talking business, same thing with like mutual funds. They get so large that it's harder to have success
because they're not growing anymore.
That's right.
Oh, they're kind of stagnant.
Yeah, and you've got all this money to invest, and you have to buy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sit on it.
Yeah.
You have to spend it. Maybe there's not something good to buy.
Yeah.
You know, so just to make a side turn, it's the same thing. It's like, yes, you can get so big and just have. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
No, he's laughing.
He's laughing. Oh, okay.
He's playing Mama Chase Me.
Thank you very much.
This is funny that he comes in here and Mom takes him out.
Crying and laughter is the same thing.
Yeah.
Sad clown.
No, remember that, ladies.
The sad clown. 1-800-SAD-CLOWN.
If you're going to do it, you better sell it big. Otherwise, daddy's not going to know. All right? That's 408-228-49.
Sad clown.
Hi, everybody.
So anyway, so big, you were saying.
You get so big that, yes, I understand what you're saying, that you're no longer in touch with that.
You get
at the same
disconnect.
Time, you know, when comedy, I don't know if that's a good enough excuse.
No. I don't
comedy
think so.
Is comedy.
I realized when I went to go, and I'm still a fan. I've met the guy, and he's a super nice guy, super down to earth. Like, he's one of the guys that, not that I've met a ton of people, but Ron White is a guy who became extremely successful, who likes to have it known that he makes a ton of money because he's a guy who came from no money.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw him in a theater, for me personally, my career, I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to, I got to find some kind of way of a balance because I've watched him on television. I've listened to his albums and I thought he was awesome. Like he makes me crack up. Right. But when I saw him in a 4,000 seat theater, there's so many people who are drunk and making so much noise. I mean, this is also his audience though, too, that I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle of that.
Right.
I don't completely fit in with that crowd because I want to be respectful and just laugh and watch the show, not getting drunk out of my mind and yell, you know, explicatives at him while he's trying to do his
That's
act.
That's where we came.
Yeah, exactly. So he's in this. I started thinking to myself, I'm like, I know if I ever get to this level, I want to find a gap, because I feel like there are a lot of people who are like me who will go to a theater and see somebody with 4,000 seats and be like, this one, I didn't think he was that funny. Mm-hmm. Only for me, I know it's because for me, I was like, well, comedy is more of an intimate medium.
Yeah.
It's better if you're closer, if it's quiet, you know, that kind of thing.
But that's why really successful comics, the Jay Leno's of the world and Jerry Seinfeld's of the world, they do work out their material in small clubs.
In small clubs, yeah. And then go from, and he's, I don't know how long he's been doing that, but I noticed that this is since he got a divorce, like still talking about Ron White, is that he starts popping up in clubs in LA now. Mm-hmm. He was just at the Laugh Factory, I think, like 2 days ago. And what's great is that this is what's cool about being at his level. He can have a 4,000 seat theater where he's probably going to clear a quarter of a million in that night alone. And then the day before he gets there, he can just jump into any local club.
And they'll gladly take him.
They will gladly let him go up there and do 15, 20 minutes or whatever he wants to do. If there's something he wants to try out or work out before he goes. And he's even said that he goes, I'll come in a week early to try out if he's got a bunch of new stuff to get ready for the big shows. A lot of them do that. And it's,
it seems like they're undercutting their own show. There are people be like, oh, well, now we can return this ticket.
They don't know. Exactly. So it's a lot of times they end up popping in. Like Larry the Cable Guy just pops in at the Omaha Funny Bone because he has a house up there and he's a big Nebraska Cornhuskers fan. So, like, he just shows up.
Like, and they're like, okay.
They, like, usually if you live, by the way, if you live in Omaha, Nebraska or in the area and you see just, you know, a show that doesn't have a name that's existing at the Omaha Funny Bone during college football season, that's a good chance you're going to see Larry the Cable Guy try out some material if you're a big fan.
Thanks for that insight, too.
If my cable ever goes out, I'll...
No, he does comedy. He tells the yuck yucks, the jokes.
Who's the Hot Pockets guy?
Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan. The first time I heard his stuff on the CD, I laughed myself silly. And then I was doing post-production for the show he's on, My Boys, and did not know what Jim Gaffigan looked like. So all I saw were the uncut edits of this very unentertaining man, and then saw a picture of him online and went, wait a minute, and my mind blew right there in this moment. How is that man that was so funny is also this man that is not funny on this show?
Well, it's like what Seinfeld talked about when he got that award from HBO. He got like a comedian's award. He's the only person I think that's gotten it so far that I know of, but I think
he's the only comedian.
Yeah,
that's why
he said, you know, it's so funny that you spend all this time, you know, honing your act, developing your persona, and then you achieve success, and then these network executives come in, and then they want to use you because you've made yourself as a funny person, and then the first thing they want to do is go, okay, this is what we think you should be doing with this, and they want to get involved.
I love you. You're perfect now. Change.
Exactly. They have to justify their job.
That's what Chris Rock said. That's their whole point is that if I just sit there and go, well, you've done it all. Then go for it. Yeah. You know. Then there's
we're
no
gonna
reason
get you to the next
to
level.
Get, exactly.
Yeah. We're gonna make. Well, you don't know how TV works.
What you need is me. That's what you need. Yeah. That's gonna
get you to the big next step.
He also threw this big stab at actors, where he says we give awards to actors, and he goes, and there aren't enough of these awards for comedians. Comedians, you know, for the most part, will all write their own material, you know, and they develop everything on their own. He goes, all actors are doing is saying words that somebody else wrote.
Oh right. Like because it's so easy to emote and to retain. Those things and to handle direction in an instant.
I do think that there's
those are simple things.
I think what his real point
is... because he can't act.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also think his real point is that maybe we should be acknowledging writers more often than actors.
We should be acknowledging improvisers. They're the hard workers because they are
they
both acting, they're writing and directing choreography.
I think we should be acknowledging podcasters more.
Yeah! Those guys don't... We don't even have a script.
Oh, I think we got them right now.
All right.
Now we're back.
Can I get you anything else, sir? Perhaps some premium original saltine crackers.
I'll do it. So at one point... So now you're...
we're back to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was enjoying listening to the stories. So I'm in the rock and roll business, yeah.
So what brings you...
Are you still in the rock and roll business now?
Well, we were in the rock and roll business.
Oh, got it.
I mean, currently in life, no.
No, he's living the life.
I had enough of that shit.
Yeah.
Can't cuss on this show.
Oh, we can't.
No, it's fine.
Screw those people.
Thank you, Bruce. What brings you to LA? So you're in New York and you're in the record
the women.
Stuff.
I was working for one record company, and another record company in Los Angeles offered me a job. I came out here.
So you came
out
more than one record company?
There are two.
Exactly.
I think there are two now.
There's the New York record company and the Los Angeles record
Sony
company.
Sony and Columbia.
There were actually 32 of them. Then Reagan's consolidation came along.
Right. And now there's two now.
And funny enough, Social Security was eliminated. All in the same act.
Here's a tangent real quick, though, that in your opinion, what do you think
about... I worked
about...
with Tangent. That was a band I worked with.
That's the best joke ever. It works for everything, doesn't it?
You know what works for everything? I don't know who the comic is that does this, but saying any... putting any words together and making it sound like somebody, you're saying somebody's homosexual. That's the best bit ever. You know, like, I bet you his microphone's fuzzy. You know? I bet you his iPhone's a GS. You know what I'm saying? Huh?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Daddy.
Wow.
That's gold. What's in your opinion? What do you think of this whole thing that everybody's talking about? The music industry is because of internet's involvement now with iTunes. Mm. So now artists aren't making any money off of the records. Am I right or am I wrong?
You know, the truth of the matter is artists never made any money off the records. And that's... it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but there's a lot of truth in it. In that, sure, certainly, if you sold millions and millions and millions of records, you'd make money. But usually, artists are signed to labels before they're big, so they're signed to these contracts where they don't get a lot of money per record that they
sell. The record is where the label gets their money back that they've given them, like a sign, what's the word I'm thinking of where they give authors
armadillo?
Thank you. The authors get an armadillo.
It's an option
to write a book.
I bet you his armadillo is scaling. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. You know what I mean? So it's
sure.
You get money up front.
An advance.
There we go. Thank you. So you get an advance, and then you produce a record for the label.
Right.
And then the record sales is what the idea is, that the record label is going to get a return on the investment.
Well, part of the problem is they sign these contracts, and in the contract, basically everything the label spends on them, the label can recoup. And most people don't realize that. So when you're a brand new artist, you've had no money, you've been struggling to get signed.
They're giving you a house.
They're going to give you money. They're going to go to studio. They're going to record for you. They're going to promote your record and do all that stuff. What you don't realize is once you sell records, they're going to take all that money back.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're going to take back more that you don't even know about. So everything they do to wine and dine people, they will charge to the artist. And by the time the artist pays for all those costs, and then there's the manufacturing cost, and the labels pump that up, there's really very little left over for the artist. So again, if you're Alanis Morissette and your first record sells 15, 20 million records, you're going to make money.
Yeah.
But the average artist doesn't make a lot of money on that. The average artist makes their money touring.
So how has the internet changed that?
Well, I think what he's saying, correct me if I'm wrong, though, is that what you're saying is that it really hasn't as much as
what I'm starting to say is that there's not they don't make a lot of money off the records. Mm-hmm. But what the internet has done is actually made it easier for artists to promote themselves,
right?
But harder in that there's a lot of people doing it,
right?
And it's hard to cut through that fog of artists. And the web is a web, as you know. So. Still, it's nice to have what does a label provide for an artist? What they provide for them is the ability to help market the artist. The truth of the matter is, a lot of it's throwing stuff up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the failure rate in the music industry is really astonishing. It's something like, and I could be a little bit off, but it's pretty close to this. Something like 97% of the artists fail.
Wow.
So if you hire 10 artists, right, then the idea is 9 of them are not going to do
most
anything.
Most likely will not make you any money.
And even that one person will probably not be an Alanis Morissette every 10.
Well, but here's how the record industry makes their money is they do have that one Alanis Morissette, and their success pays for all the failures.
Yes.
Most businesses couldn't succeed on that kind of failure rate. So most artists are not making any money off their records.
And most artists don't mind because they're trying to fight for the dream.
They mind, but they think it's like if NBC comes along and says, we're going to give you a TV show, you're like, yeah, I'll take it. And then later you find out, well, all the money that we said we're paying you, we're not paying you.
All the production costs, all of the, DVDs.
All the other actors' salaries.
You guys want lights on set, right?
Yeah.
Well.
Going to cost you.
Wait a second.
So then, and that's interesting, too, because this has always been my big beef with anybody in the entertainment industry is that I feel like they don't give you enough in these actor training programs that they have and everything. There isn't enough of an an emphasis on the financial aspect on any of it, right?
Interesting.
That,
yeah. Right.
That my father, weirdly enough, was the one who told me that when I was in high school and I said, I want to be an actor, he goes, okay, here's the thing. He goes, what you're doing with your money right now is stupid, because if you're going to be an actor, you don't know when your next paycheck is going to happen. So you have to learn to take a paycheck and then spread that out as much as you can and hope that there's going to be another one that comes along in the time that you have that you're spending this one. You can't dump all of it. So it sounds like to me, like, especially if you're an artist who's working, you've been playing all these coffee shops, you know you're talented, then all of a sudden you get this label who validates that to you, gives you this millions and millions of dollars and a house and all that stuff. You're thinking, yes, now I get to live it up. Now yes. I get to be like what AC/DC is in my head,
right?
Not thinking the whole time, it's a credit card. You're just swiping every
exactly
time.
What it is. Mm-hmm.
And then you're, in a sense, what they should be doing is that if I get $1 million, say, signing
bonus, they
should
be very frugal with the money.
I should take 800 grand of that and just invest it
and
sit on it.
Also, they should know that going in, and now they have not so much leverage when you're a brand new artist and you want that deal, but there is a little bit of leverage, so you can also be smart in structuring your deal to try and preserve some possibility for yourself. But unfortunately, most artists don't do that. They ask for everything, the pie in the sky.
I
want a sheep dispenser.
Pretty much. Everybody has to go through that, because there isn't a course, really. There isn't a...
Well, there are books to be read, and there are people that will tell you the truth, but most people don't know that stuff. And of course, the industry doesn't want to tell you that, because that's how the industry keeping you ignorant is beneficial. To
them. Out of curiosity, is that what made you decide, I don't want to do this shit anymore?
I did it for 2 decades, and so it was a lot of fun. But I did it long enough, basically.
Were you the guy who would take people? Because I know you said that the label would sign somebody, and then your job was to...
job was to sit down with the artist and figure out how to... Well, originally it was to get their records played on the radio, but it became sit down with the artist and figure out how to market their records and promote their records.
So if they're like a more, I guess in today's terms or whatever, maybe they're a more emo-type band or something, you go, okay, well, let's do your stuff, but let's also try and come up with something that we could use mainstream? Is that
That would be an A&R guy's responsibility, or the president the label. I mean, I wouldn't tell them what songs to record or what kind of music to record, but once they brought it to me, my thing would be, you tell me, you know, which way you want to approach it, and I'll tell you how to get it done.
Oh, okay. So they say, I don't want to be a top 40 artist. Then you would say, okay, well, then this is going to mean this, this, and this.
Yeah,
am I right?
If they decided they were a rock and roll band, you know, if they sounded like a rock and roll band, I would tell them what path that would work. You know, we also had a broad range of artists, from hip hop artists to top 40 type acts. But, you know, it's just a matter. Everything is different. You know, people would always ask me, they'd say, well, how do you work music that you don't like? You know, if you don't like it. And it never, ever enters into the equation, because I'm never thinking, do I like this? I'm just thinking, how will this work?
Yeah. Right.
You know, how does this work in the market?
You're a salesperson. You're trying to figure out, how do I pitch this?
That's right.
Yeah. How do I sell this?
Where does it fit?
And in order to do that, you just have to have an understanding of each of those individual industries within those genres.
You just need to know, right, and everything starts on a different path, but you pretty much, there's only so many of them. You know, there's touring, there's different types of radio stations, then MTV became a factor, and things like that.
So then, I like that, because what I was thinking when we were talking about how the internet has helped is that I was talking about this with somebody recently, that I have a CD that's available on iTunes. It's my first, you know, stand-up album. Now, the album that I'm recording coming up November 4th is my second CD. It's going to be far better than my first CD, because that was something I wrote in my first year. If it wasn't for the internet, I wouldn't have even had that as a possibility. Never could have. I've made money off of it. Have I cleared what I spent to produce it on my own? No. So it's almost like I have my own little record label on my own.
There are musicians that have done that too.
They start their own label. Well, and I've heard that the labels are now just primarily becoming distributors.
Well, they've always, you know what, here's the thing. Labels were the only way to get your record distributed many years ago. Now the channels of distribution are open to anybody, pretty much. So that they kind of lost, but they're basically a marketing machine. And so they did two things for you if you were an artist, really. Three things. They were the bank, they were distribution, and they were marketing. Then people realize the bank's not doing them any good, because, as we described earlier,
it's not a bank
spending their own money.
Yeah,
You know, I'll be a bank. I'll lend you your own money if you want.
Brilliant.
And then the distribution kind of. Right, you're laughing. That was our business for 40 years.
I know. It's just funny that it was great. Just the expression on your face of like, sure, I'll lend you your own money. And I just imagine these people going like, because they even
I've
if you
made it. I've made it. Yeah. He's giving me my money.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, that actually works twice because they would say, we're going to spend this on you. We're going to give this to you, blah, 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 blah. And then what would happen is after you did make it, they would take forever to pay you the money they owed you. Yeah. And then you'd say, when am I going to get paid? And they'd go, well, if you sign this new deal. So then they would torch you. They would actually legally, well, not legally, but they would, as routine, hold back the money that they then... the very little money the artist made, and they would managers would come in routinely and have to renegotiate in order to get the money they're owed.
Wow.
So, you
well,
know.
It's funny too because Natalie, being in the real estate industry, like doing loans and stuff like that, she never had a problem. She's been doing this for I think 5 years now, almost six, and never had a problem getting paid. When all of a sudden the market goes into the tank and Wells Fargo comes in and everything, now all of a sudden she's got to double check her paychecks, and it's like, no, you guys still owe me $1,000 here. And they're like, well, okay, that'll take us a little. And I was talking to my dad about that, and I was like, I go, it just blows my mind. How could you be a company and have employees and then not pay them the money that they've helped you make? You know, my dad goes, well, funny thing, when there isn't a lot of money to use to pay people, it's, you find that people aren't getting paid.
It's simple business acumen. The less money they give to you, the more money they get to keep themselves.
Yeah. To sit on, and if you happen to be the jackass that doesn't pay attention to your paychecks, and then, well, now they get... Because to me, I'm thinking, you're Wells Fargo. You're a huge corporation.
You're going to get bailed out if something goes wrong.
Well, they already do. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But but my point was is that they... how is it that the $1,000 from the Worsham family is going to make or break? Yeah. And what it isn't that. It's the $1,000 to get from the Worshams, the Johnsons, the Smiths, the Millers, the Tannenbaums, and that times a million all over the place, and then that adds up to something, you know, much. It's just like I got audited.
I would say the thousand times a million would be quick.
It's that would be easy math, right? I just got audited by the IRS, and it cracks me up because I'm finishing up this audit, and all of a sudden it dawns on me that what they're
should have done a podcast of that. You should have had the audit.
That'd have been great.
The IRS agent comes in. Just, you have the mic set up.
No, because here's the thing. If it was a person, I would have. I would have done anything I could to get them to talk to me.
It was a robot?
Because I would love to just...
Hello, I am here to audit you. I do not require any water.
I work there and they have to have jobs, but I would just love to talk to this person about justifying their existence and why they're here coming to me to take money from me. Like, why is it that I'm the... Because the reality was is that they were auditing me on $5,000 worth of travel expenses, and I'm a comedian, right? And I made $25,000 last year doing stand-up, so it's like, really?
And this is going to make a difference for the U.S. government.
Exactly. That's my first thought was that whatever money, because at first I got paranoid because I'd only been audited for my miles the year prior. So I got audited for 06 for miles. 07 was miles and travel expenses. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh gosh, what if I have to pay the money? And
you've been audited 2 years in a row?
Yeah. So
at the same time. There was like back to back.
They should just fire the IRS agent just for picking you 2 years in a row. What's the upside there?
I think what it is that it's just a computer that jumbles the numbers, sees a flag, comes up, and then it sends out an automated letter to automate.
They should fire the computer then.
Exactly.
Because can we do that?
But here's the kicker. This $5,000 that they're saying that I have to show, right? Even if I made that entire $5,000 up, right? How is that going to tweak my adjusted gross income enough to change my tax bracket? It's not going to happen. Yeah. You morons, I'm okay. I'm totally... All you're doing is wasting even... And here's the thing. You're
costing more money to audit you. Than
exactly. You're coming... You're costing... Here's the part that really pisses me
off. You're really angry.
when I start stammering...
You got a little Lenny Bruce thing going on here all of a sudden. And then what else they said to me?
And then I had to pay $10 to ship them the bullshit that I knew they weren't even going to fucking look at. That's the part that blew my mind.
So they can put it on file.
You are a government agency. I should be able to walk into the U.S. fucking Postal Service. How is it that I can have DVDs sent back to fucking Netflix for free? It's part of my little thing I pay.
I can't
go into the United States Postal Service and send a package that I'm being fucking audited that they fucking need from me through the United... If I was FedExing it, that's one thing, okay? If I'm going to go UPS, okay, maybe it sounds like United... Okay, you pay for it. I should not have to pay for it at a federal government agency.
I think I have some Valium here.
I'm not really that angry about this whole thing, but I just we were talking... Here's what happened.
What?
We ended the last show.
IRS.
Because here's the thing. I don't know. Bruce would know. You're a financial guy. I think we should be on a federal sales tax system. That's what I think.
A what?
A federal sales tax
Sounds
system.
Good to me.
I think federal we should have one tax. Federal sales tax, get the fuck rid of anybody at the IRS, and oh, they don't have jobs anymore. Yeah. Guess how many auto workers have lost their jobs this year?
Yeah.
Get rid of those fucking assholes at the IRS. And I know that they're real people and everything, but it's a bureaucracy and I hate it, so fuck them. So get rid of them. We have a federal sales tax that pays for everything, and yay, boom, done. I don't
Sounds
care
like
if it's
a solution. Write your congressman, see if he gives a shit.
Oh, yeah, I would be better
who
off.
Who is your congressman? Do you know what congressman?
I don't even know who my congressman is. I knew when I was in Modesto, but I don't know here.
Joe something.
I know my congressman.
You know who it is?
Is he the same as yours?
Probably.
Should be.
Henry Waxman?
Henry Waxman?
Henry Waxman.
I want to be a congressman.
He's the head of the House Ways and Means Committee. He's a big guy in that.
He's a big guy?
Big guy, yeah.
I should write him a letter. I'm sure Henry that Waxman. Ends up...
Look it up on the web. Everything's on the web.
It's true.
Strawberry shortcake. Market your record and find out who your congressman is at the same time.
We talked about this on the last episode, is that there was legislation that was being considered on the floor of the Senate, I think, or the House of Representatives, because there was a law that came up that somebody was having sex with their assisted living dog or whatever.
What?
And there was no way.
You haven't heard this story?
There was no way for, there was no law that basically said this is illegal. And so there was no precedence for them to sentence this person and to persecute them. Like, the guy didn't get off free. They came up with some, like, disturbing the something
That's
or
not
whatever.
The guy, it's not the guy that was having the sex with the horse then.
No. That guy died or whatever. But so this is what set me off on my last tirade about the government, is that we're paying money out of my $5,000 is going somewhere to help them decide how and what the verbiage should be on a law for whether or not you should bone animals.
Well, either that or it's decide. Who in baseball is on steroids?
Exactly. Yeah. That. Why is that a set of
hearing? No idea.
Is it because it's America's pastime?
We got two wars and a recession on, and they're like, I don't think Barry Bonds should be taking drugs.
We should put an asterisk next to his record.
Right.
And then the other thing is that people actually care that it's all over the news that President Obama called Kanye West a jackass. Right.
Wow.
He called him a jackass because the guy was a jackass.
Right.
Right. Like, here's the thing. Like, I am somebody who would more often than not vote Republican than Democrat, right? And this guy, when Obama comes in and he says, that guy's a jackass, it should have been on the record. Why is it? Yeah. Why is it that we're supposed to live in a society where the President of the United States of America can't give their own opinion?
Isn't I love
that, it. Wouldn't it, if they were more
he
willing...
He can give his own opinion as long as he's not talking to your school kids.
I want that. So here's the thing. I would be all for him interrupting as many school days out of the year if the beginning words out of his mouth was, hello, my fellow Americans, Kanye West is a jackass. If he started every president, that's what I would do. If I was President Obama at this point, if that became
Kids,
news,
let me tell you what a jackass
every
is.
State of the Union address for the next 4 years that I do, every time I get up on the Congress floor, I go, thank you, Speaker of the House, Kanye West is a jackass. That's all I would do. Because it's not like, who is going to hate President Obama because he
somebody.
Thinks Kanye West is a jackass?
I guarantee somebody.
And if it is that somebody
is a jackass.
Should count as the $5,000 that doesn't change my adjusted gross income on my fucking taxes. Kanye West is a jackass.
Is. Are we time? Is that it?
Well, we're close. Yeah, okay. We're close. I feel like we've interrupted. We talked too much about.
I'm afraid you're going to have a seizure if you keep talking about this. You haven't been this angry since the last week.
But this feels good. Don't you feel? I feel like it's cathartic, huh?
Fine. Well, it's cathartic for you, I guess.
I don't care.
I'm fine with it, though.
I think it's great that he called him a jackass.
Yeah,
did you see Leno's reaction? He got all Oprah on him.
No.
He's like,
Bruce has it all cute.
That was pretty much it.
No, what did he say?
You should end with the Arrested Development song. That's the song we should go out with.
All right.
He was on Jay Leno, whatever, on the 15th, 16th, and I guess it was the 15th because we're recording this on the 16th.
Yeah.
And Jay Leno asked him, he's like, how do you think your mom would think about this? What do you think your mother would
think? Ask Kanye West?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He said your mama to him?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because his mom is dead. And what did Kanye West say?
He got all choked up. He had to stop from it. He couldn't react. You haven't seen this? And
no.
then Jay Leno repeats the question and like in a softer tone. Do you think she'd be upset? Do you think she'd be
Well, that's
mad?
What here's the thing. The man's mother obviously wasn't involved enough. You don't grow up to be a 30-something-year-old man and behave like an 8-year-old.
Well, but if your parents
are
involved.
If you watch this clip, I believe
he wasn't like that before he became a big star.
Yeah.
Like, back to our earlier conversation.
Yeah, that's true. Now he's got a lot of people.
Plus, let's remember, it's the MTV Music Awards, and
he was drunk.
Rewarded for jumping up on stage and doing stupid shit.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, every year there's something true. Like that.
Because here's the thing. If he's a guy, my honest opinion is that if this is an attempt to get press and to become relevant again and stay fresh in everybody's mind, go get him, because then the morons are us, the American people.
We fought for it.
Well, the morons are always us. Yes. That never changes year in and year out. That's solid.
All right, there's our out.
I don't know. Okay.
What?
I was going to say you should watch the clip, because I believe in sincerity. I believe he actually does repent for behaving like that at the MTV Music Awards.
Well, good.
I think so.
Kanye West is a jackass. Thank you very much, Bruce Tannenbaum.
Hey, thank you.
We
got
to have Bruce on.
Did we accomplish anything?
I think we did. I think we changed the world. Everybody's going to write Henry Waxman and show him
1-800-SAD-CLOWN
that Justin should not be getting audited. That's all we need to have happen.
Have you ever been audited, Bruce?
I have, yes.
Really?
Yeah, well, right. You're on a whole other show there.
All right, good. We'll have you back. We'll talk about audits. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Not just my spare tire. The Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. Some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all the hurts. Let me understand your plans. Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all the hurts. Let me understand your plans. Lord, it's obvious we got a relationship. Talking to each other every night and day. Although you're superior over me, we talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Past eyes burn into richness, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee. Take me to another place, take me to another land. Make me forget all the hurts, let me understand your plans. Take me to another place, take me to another land. Make me forget all the hurts, let me understand your plans. Ishi, she went down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes! Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me? Without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee. Take me to another. You help me understand your
tennis.